Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive. The message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I'll pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I'll do my best. And the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have any comments, ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we humble ourselves on this blessed day, a day that you have blessed us to see, and another time that you have given us to assemble ourselves together in the name of Jesus Christ to go into the Word of God. But Lord, we dare not take this journey into your Word without you. So we extend the invitation for your Spirit to be with us. And Lord, give us revelation of the Word that we read and study this day. Father, we need you, Lord God, and without you, we know nothing. So, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for this very day that you have blessed us to assemble together once again. I pray that you anoint the words of my mouth to give this word unto the people and all that are listening. And I pray that you will water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase, that those who are looking for truth shall find it. And, Lord, that you would enlighten their spirit with this revelation of truth on this subject that I'm speaking on. So, Lord God, I thank you. I praise you. I give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. I want to make a couple announcements before I go into the message. Number one, if you are a first-time listener, the page you listen to me on, the follow button there, click on it. It's going to ask for your email information. The purpose of that is that you will be notified whenever we create a broadcast. And though we come on daily or schedule to come on daily, 7 p.m. Nightly, there are times that we may have to do an earlier broadcast, such as right now that I'm doing an earlier broadcast today. And so whatever time we create the broadcast and get ready to go on, you'll be notified. So hit that follow button and put your information in. And also for those of you that are first-time listeners, I want to let you know that we at the Church of Christ Alive the Message, we believe that the Bible contains the Word of God, but also that God allowed a couple more books to come forth to go with the Bible, one called The Record of Nephi, which is a record of people that live on this continent during the prehistoric times and how the Lord dealt with them and gave his commandments and his judgments and statutes unto them. And then there's another book called The Word of the Lord, which is a book of messages that the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as the Lord promised to send Elijah in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, Revelation 14 and 6, Acts chapter 3, Deuteronomy chapter 18, where that the Lord has been sending messages to his people. This is the extra oil that Matthew has spoken of, Jesus spoke of, rather, in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. So, therefore, if you want the Record of Nephi, which is $8, and any of the messages, which is 75 cents per dozen, you can write the Church of Christ Eliza message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is the Church of Christ with the Eliza message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Or you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get no one at that number, dial area code 816-252-2343. There's area code 816-252-2343. And I want to encourage you to get the Record of Nephi and the messages and what you read. I want to encourage you to go to Jesus about it. Amen. Glory be to God. So having gone through that, now today we are on part two of a series that I have been doing as well, titled The Anti-Black Doctrine, Unholy Union. And this is part two. And for those of you that are first-time listeners, Blog Talk Radio does record our past broadcasts. So you can go back into the archives. You can scroll down, you know, on the page that before this page you were listening to me on, the page you came to, where it had a list of different subjects and things that we spoke of. And you can scroll down and it'll take you to the past ones. And if you don't see it there, normally on that page, there's some number boxes at the bottom. What those number boxes is, they're just more broadcasts, past broadcasts we did. So you can go back into the archives. And I want to encourage you to listen to part one of this. Amen. I don't, you know, I always try to tell people, you know, when you come into a series, a teaching series or something like that, and you come in the middle or toward the end, I always encourage people to go back and listen to the beginning so you can be caught up to speed. Because many times you come in the middle or the end and you're still not grasping what the overall teaching on the subject is about. And it helps to start from the beginning and come up to par. So I want to encourage you all to do that as well. Now, I want to make a correction before I go any further. When you listen to part one of this series here, I read to you something that Joseph E. Taylor wrote to the president, John Taylor, in the, you know, of the Mormon Church. And I gave you what book, you know, this come out of, amen. And I gave you a date. I think I told you September the 3rd, 1885, when it actually is September the 5th, 1885. So I want to make that correction right there. Amen. And if you listen to part one and you hear me say September the 3rd, it's actually was September the 5th, 1885. So I want to continue on from there. And what we're looking at in this series here is dealing with the Mormons' teaching about the black people. And just, we're just getting straight to the point on this. Now, I know some of you say, well, hey, in 1978, they overturned that doctrine teaching or whatever you said, and, yeah, they accept black people into the priesthood. Well, yeah, they may have done that, but you can even talk to some black Mormons who have become Mormons where they have still been experiencing racism in Mormonism. Now, the reason why I'm going into this is because that you may see this teaching that they came with to say that a particular race, which is the black race or the colored race, was a cursed people. And the thing that they had to say, and all this is really nothing short of racism, okay? Amen. Now, I'm not here. Now, some of my Caucasian brothers and sisters may think that I'm here to try to put colored people above everybody. No, I'm not. It's about equality, people. And you have to admit that the colored people have been done real bad, especially in this nation, over years, okay? And it's about equality. It's not about me trying to say, well, we just better than all other races. Well, if I did that, people, I'm being no better than some of the white Caucasians that's teaching that, amen? So, no, it's not about that. I'm here to give the truth of the matter. And even though they may say they had overturned it, it's many of them still hold dear to this teaching. Now, others you may say, you know, Brother Nate, I hear you a lot of times keep talking about the Mormons, this and the Mormons, that. You must hate them. No, I don't hate the Mormons. I love them with the love of God. But however, it's like this. If you claim to be the church on this earth, the church, the restored church, the church that everybody has to go through, okay, to, quote, get to the Lord or to be saved or enter heaven, all of that, and you coming up with these teachings that's contrary to even just say the Bible alone, then it should be called out, okay? Because you got many members of Mormon, many Mormon members. You got, oh my God, I think what, they the second biggest church or richest church on this earth? Man, I mean, come on. So you got a whole lot of people following these doctrines, which is ungodly. Plain and simple. If they're ungodly doctrines and you're passing it off for godly, then that should be called out. Amen. Now, I know some of y'all, I say even as Christians, you want to sit back in the corner and be silent. And then you want to tell me that's not love. Well, the Lord said, cry loud and spare not. The Lord wants these things that is leading people down the wrong road exposed or called out, okay? Hallelujah. God didn't call us as Christians to sit back and watch somebody mislead a soul to hell, and we just stand there and look. And see, some of you are, well, it's not none of my business. Listen, the Lord said the blood of this generation is required at your hands. And there's too many of you as Christians, now, I'm not saying being a renegade Christian, just jumping in everything, but you got to stand and give the word of God. At least Jesus told us, even in Ezekiel, that if we don't warn even the righteous man that's going in the error or the unrighteous man that's going down the wrong way, God said, what? I require that your hand. So for those of you that want to say you're supposed to sit down and say nothing and mind your own business per se, then guess what? The word of God just busts your bubble. Amen. Now, we're going to continue on here. And the last thing that I went into the Bible with you guys with was coming from the book of Kings, chapter 1. And we was looking at how that, and we've been looking at this, that, you know, even some, and not just Mormons, even some Christians have went as far as teaching that God says, well, we don't supposed to mix races. And they have, quote, tried to use scriptures, you know, from the Bible to try to prove that, you know, you're supposed to mix races. And it's funny that when they talk about mixed races, if there's a number one race that they point at to not mix with is color folks. And they're just amazing, okay? But anyhow, last scripture I was talking to you guys about in coming out of the book of Kings. And we see in the book of Kings here, what is it, 1 Kings, the 11th chapter? We see in the book of Kings here that when the Lord told Israel not to intermingle with the people, it wasn't about race. It was about the separation between those who serve God and those who don't serve God, those who have been serving other gods. That's where God calls the separation from. That's where God calls the lack of don't mingle or intermix and all that stuff coming from. It's not because of race. It's not because of gender. It's because of the spiritual stand of where one worship and serve God and the one worship and serve idol gods or the ungodly or Satan. Amen? So God speaks against that type of union, okay? But it was not about races. So having said that, let's go into the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's go into the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's look at that here. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. And like I said, it, not just the Mormons, but even some Christians have go to the point where they have used the scriptures to try to say, hey, this is where God's telling us not to mix races. No, it was not about mixing races, people. It was about mixing where one would serve God and others are serving idol gods. And God speaks against that mixing. Or one that is want to walk righteous and the one that is all into sin. Then God said, okay, don't have no part with them. But as far as races or color, no. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm going to read starting at verse 1 and possibly go to verse 5, okay? The book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting at verse 1 and going, like I said, possibly to verse 5. Okay, it says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, okay? And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them. Do you hear that? Nor show mercy unto them. Now, notice one of the things that you should not make no covenant with. You got a covenant you made with God, and then there is what is called the marriage covenant. Now, notice that in here, God is talking about, he's not talking about because of race, okay? You see that? Let's go verse 3. He said, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. And for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Now, notice verse 4 gives you the key reason why God talks about not intermingling with them or making covenants with them. He said, because they were you from following me. And they're going to have you serving other gods. Once again, it was not about race. You understand that? It wasn't about race. Hallelujah. It wasn't about race, people. It's about, see, that's why God talks about you being a Christian, not marrying an unbeliever, which we'll look at that hopefully in a minute. Once again, it's not about race. And I read to you guys in part one of this where the Mormon, quote, leaders like Brigham Young and all this had to say about the color folks and how cursed we are and how, you know, just really evil we are and how that if you were to marry someone of a color race, how cursed your seed would be. And even had the audacity to go as far as saying God's behind it, and if you do it, you could be destroyed. Well, see, the Lord talks about sudden destruction coming upon Israel based on what? If they intermingle with these people that are serving other gods. Once again, not about race. Not about race, okay? See, sometimes man, when he wants to make a point his way, he will even go to try to use the scriptures. Okay, when he try to make a point his way. And see what it is, and let's be honest, much of that is because what's in their heart. There are some Christians, even some Christians, who carry this racism in their heart. They may not want to admit it. They may tell you, say it's not so. Okay, and one of the other things I've heard from some Christians that try to justify us not mingling together because your children are going to have trouble. Well, guess what? There's people of light color. Children have trouble or have trouble themselves. Amen. They have trouble. Trouble doesn't rely upon the color in order for it to show up. Okay? You understand that? In other words, color ain't just coming to just the black people or just the white people or just the Chinese or just the Indian. Now, trouble would try to come to – trouble doesn't care about no color. Okay, and I've heard some of my white brothers and sisters use that. Well, you know, if you're married, you know, that out of it's gonna bring trouble. Oh, it's gonna bring trouble. Okay, well, other races, you know, people of the same race has been having trouble. Okay, so that's really no excuse. Amen. That's really a no excuse. Now. And so we see here in Deuteronomy that it wasn't about race where the people, where God talks about not intermingling, not coming together and making these covenants. But it was about you have a group of people, you have some that, you have those that serve the Lord and those that were serving other gods. And God said, it's not going to work like that. It's not going to work like that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, let's go into the New Testament. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go into the New Testament here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank God for the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I have to say that this is a verse here that, sad to say, some Christians overlook this verse. I mean, these verses I'm about to read, they overlook this and have trouble. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, let's look at verse 14. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do you see that? He just said, don't be unequally yoked with people of different races or people of a particular race. He said, with unbelievers. Then he asked a question. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness? See, the believer is called righteous. Unbeliever is called unrighteous. The believer is called light. The unbeliever is called darkness. In verse 15, he said, what concord or what accord, agreement, have Christ with Belial, or what part have he that believeth with an infidel, which is an unbeliever? Okay? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, he said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, say the Lord. Why should he be separate? Because one is called light, one is called darkness, one is called righteousness, one is called unrighteousness. Okay, according to how they, that's how they live, that's what they're representing. Amen. And this is why the Lord said, come out from among them in verse 17 and be ye separate. He didn't say come out from among them because y'all are different races. You understand that? Hallelujah. And see, here's, like I said a few seconds ago, this is some scriptures right here that some Christians overlook. You got some Christians, they are married unbelievers in the minute because that unbeliever smiles at them, say little nice things in their ear, or they're captivated by their eyes, they shape and how they look and all this stuff, and they say, oh, yeah. And, you know, and then that person's talking sweet and open the door for them, you know, or do this and that, and boom, they captivated, and then that person as unbelievers can, quote, say all the right things. And do what? They marry them. When God said, be ye not unequally, and notice he said it's unequally yoked. So it's an unequal yoke between a believer and unbeliever. That's why God said, hey, don't try to get together with them, okay? But see, some of us as Christians, we ignore that because once again, we are captivated by the person, okay? Or we try to, and it ain't just by marriage here, but also we try to join into organizations that is ungodly. They have nothing but unbelievers. And God said, when you do that, you are unequally yoked. You're not fitting together because you got believers and you got unbelievers. But once again, it was not about race, people. It's not about race. Hallelujah. And some of you want to talk about trouble. Some of you right now that's listening, you know what I'm talking about. Whether you are a Christian man, a Christian woman, you went and married an unbeliever, and man, you done had trouble like you never, my goodness. Even to a point that you have to watch yourself because, listen, the dangerous thing about it is that when you're connected to an unbeliever, they could end up causing you to walk away from the Lord. Just like the Lord said in the Old Testament, he talks about, hey, don't let your son marry their daughters, okay, and don't intermingle because they will cause you to follow other gods. And see, you know what? God knows what he's talking about, people. He knows what he's talking about. And see, when you go and link up with an unbeliever, you're putting yourself in danger because, see, I know some of us listening, we got our chest stuck up and we think, I've been in the Lord 15 years. I'm too strong for that. Okay, in your prideful thinking, go ahead and do it and watch you see yourself doing stuff saying, man, I never thought I'd be doing that or saying that or going this way. I'm telling you. See, we got to be strong in the Lord as walking in the Lord, okay? We can't walk away from his word and talk about we're going to be strong in the Lord. It's not going to work, people. You can do all that bragging you want to do and think about how strong you are. You can only be strong, as the Bible said, in the Lord, not strong away from the Lord, okay? In the Lord and in the power of his might. In the Lord, people, okay? That's the key right there. And so you got some Christians. They won't pray. They won't study the word like they should. And they thinking they're strong. Ain't nothing going to shake me because I show them I believe in the Lord. And then when the stuff start coming, you start finding yourself doing stuff and you go, man, I never thought I would do that. And then you see yourself, because it's easy to get caught up in a fix like that. And next thing you know, you're seeing yourself doing ungodly stuff continuously to a point when you come to yourself, you go, my God, I never thought I'd do that. Amen. Hallelujah. But once again, looking at this here, it was not about race. Okay? It's not about race. Hallelujah. Because you got to remember, God created all races. We were made of one blood. That's what we are told in the Bible. One blood. Hallelujah. Amen. The Mormons is going about talking about some, the black people, they're the seed of Cain, and you get even one drop of their blood, you'll be tainted. You'll be cursed. And, you know, I thought about it, too, on that. So I guess the Mormon wouldn't deal with no, if a Mormon needed some blood, you know, if he lost some blood, need some transfusion of the blood, I guess if a Mormon had to get some transfusion of blood to live and find out it was a black man, blood put in him, I guess he would be cursed, huh? But anyhow, it was not about race. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to look at a verse here, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Hallelujah. Verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. Let's look at that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. Amen. And look what the word of God says. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will only in the Lord. Now look at how Paul said that. See, he didn't leave it at if her husband be dead, she's at liberty to be married to whom she will. Period. No, he didn't leave it like that. Because notice that to whom she will. And see, and I'm glad that he added those extra words to it, because if he'd have left it like that, then, like I said, some Christians would go out there and look around and say, they see somebody with a nice shape or somebody that smile a lot or somebody they captivated by their eyes, and they go, you know, try to get together with them. And then someone else said, hey, you know, that person don't believe the Lord. Well, the Lord said I can marry whoever I will. No, he said, look at this. He said, only in the Lord. So Paul didn't differentiate from in the second epistle that he did from here in the first. You see that? He kept it real. He kept it straight. So he didn't say in one epistle, hey, don't you, you know, only marry someone in the Lord, and come in the second episode and say, hey, you can marry anybody. He kept it straight. Hallelujah. The key thing was in the Lord. He said, only in the Lord. He made that clear. And get this now, and understand this, and some things too, even if you're coming across, quote, another Christian, there is still the will of God in some things concerning even that. You say, well, why is that? Well, you would think two Christians are supposed to fit. But you got some Christians, you know, that may be in the backsliding stage or really not given to the Lord like they should. Or you can have some what they call carnal Christians. The Corinthians here were carnal Christians, even though they accepted Christ as Lord. Okay. And even had some of the gifts operating through them, yet still, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, they was walking as mere men. So they still was, quote, walking according to the flesh or living according to the flesh. Hallelujah. So still, even if you come across someone, that even if they're saved, it's still good to consult the Lord about it. Amen? It's still good because, once again, God knows the hearts of all men. And that includes every Christian. Okay? So he knows when those there are Christians who are for real, and there's Christians who talk about being for real, but they're not for real. You understand what I'm saying? So I wanted to put that by you on that one right there. Amen? Now, I want to read something else that Sandra Tanner, and, you know, I have been reading to you guys concerning, you know, Sandra Tanner was the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, who was the successor to Joseph Smith. And once again, that's another one that the Mormons ride high on. Besides Joseph Smith, Brigham Young. Sandra Tanner was once a Mormon for years, and then she came out, became a Christian, glory to God, and she wrote a book called The Changing World of Mormonism, and she wrote about the beliefs and teachings that the Mormons had, okay, and that she found out was contradictory to the very word of God. Well, I want to read a little bit more to you about what she said here concerning the Mormons' belief about black people just cursed. You know, that's their belief, that black people's cursed. Okay, so, hallelujah. Now, glory to God. This is what she says here. Mormon writer Lester Bush claims that President David O. McKay allowed a church rule to be broken in some cases with the concurrence of President McKay. A young man of known Negro ancestry was ordained to the priesthood after receiving a patriarch blessing which did not assign him to a cursed lineage. Now, you know, I read to you guys in part one where they talked about how that even though they had said that this is a doctrine, there was time that they let some black people be, quote, ordained to the priesthood. So once again, that's a contradictory with them and not a standing on that. So she goes on to say, a young man of known Negro ancestry was ordained to the priesthood after receiving a patriarch blessing, which did not assign him to a cursed lineage. In another case, President McKay authorized two children with Negro ancestry to be sealed in the temple to the white couple who had adopted them. Now, that's in their book, Dialogue, A Journal of Mormon Thought, Spring 1973, page 45. Now, wait a minute. Now, okay, so what y'all are saying, one minute you're saying black folks is cursed, and if you mingle with their seed, they curse, and they don't, they so cursed, they don't need to be in the priesthood and all that, but you had some at time that was ordained into the priesthood. So what is what? What is what? You know, that looks like to me some picking and preference. You know, some that just don't like the color. Okay. That's what you're showing. Okay? That's what you're showing. She goes on to say the Mormon leaders certainly had a double standard concerning this matter. While the Abels and others were allowed to hold the priesthood, Lester Bush says that on August the 28th, 1947, the quorum upheld a decision by John Witsow denying a temple recommend to a sister having 1/32 of Negro blood in her veins. Page 66, N-184. I don't know what book that is they have with theirs, but do you hear that? They denied the, what, admitting to the temple to a sister, they call a sister, having 1/32 of Negro blood in her vein. People, let me ask something. How ridiculous is that? You know, when man gets in sin and have this stuff in the heart, we can get really ridiculous. I mean, you just get to the smallest of stuff. 1/32 of blood in her veins, of black blood, and you're going to deny her to go into your, quote, temple? Come on, man. Come on now. That just looked bad, okay? And this thing was just set for years. For years. And one thing I got to give some of them credit on, when you approach them and say, hey, how come black people not in the priesthood? They came out straight and told you, well, black people is cursed. It wasn't no hidden language or hidden words or something. I got to give them that credit. They would come out and say it. But once again, like she pointed out, there was among them some double standards, okay, going on. And I read to you guys how that all of the Mormons didn't fully agree with that so-called doctrine or teaching. But the base of them did. most of their ministry did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to go to the record of Nephi here. Those of you that have a Nephi record, turn with me to 2 Nephi chapter 5. And those of you that don't, hey, listen, I hope you got your pencil, your paper and your pencil by. Write this down. Amen. And I'm going to read 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse 1 to, I believe it's going to be verse 6. Now, hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God today. For those of you that had a Nephi record, don't know this, and those of you that don't, most of you may not know this, but when you read a Nephi record, at one time the Nephites was considered to be the people of God, and the Lamanites were not, okay? And the man that was led over here from Jerusalem named Lehi, he had some sons, Laman, Lemuel, Nephi, I think Sam and Joseph, I think was the two latest ones. And, you know, Laman and Lemuel was the two oldest. And if he had trouble on anybody with the two oldest, you would think, you know, sometimes in some households, if they look for anyone to cut up, it'd be the youngest. But in this case with him, the two oldest was the one cutting up. Anything with dealing with God, they was against, you name it. They was the first ones to murmur, complain, angry, you name it, okay? And so when daddy, Lehi, died, and the sons are now going on, that same type of spirit still operate with the older boys. And so in second book of Nephi, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Behold, it came to pass that I, Nephi, did cry much unto the Lord my God because of the anger of my brethren." Now, Nephi was a servant of the Lord. And he said he cried much unto the Lord because of the anger of his brethren. Okay? You know, hallelujah. He said, "But behold, their anger did increase against me, insomuch that they seek to take away my life." So he said that they got their anger increased. And one thing we have to watch out as people with anger is that when it increases, it would take us to a point, and I know some of y'all say, "Well, I'll never get to that point." Well, if you let anger increase till we get that bad, you'll be shocked at what you would do. And their anger increased to a point that they wanted to kill their own brother. Now, how serious is that? Okay. And you've heard many crimes here in this nation of siblings killing each other. And you're like, "Man, that's their own brother. That's their own sister. How can you go and kill them? How can you, you know, this is the one that y'all share a parent," as one guy would say. "And coming out from the same woman. And how can you look at them and be killing them?" So he goes on to say, "Yay, they did murmur against me, saying, 'Our younger brother thinketh to rule over us, and we have had much trial because of him. Wherefore now let us slay him, that we may not be afflicted more because of his words. For behold, we will not that he shall be our ruler, for it belongeth unto us, which are the elder brethren, to rule over this people.'" See, God had assigned Nephi to be in the leadership he was in. But see, now you see, from what I read, the older brothers didn't like that. They said, "We should be the rulers, okay? We didn't have much trouble because of him. So you're going to just blame everything on Nephi. The trouble you have, not looking at you, the biggest complainers probably there is, okay? And you was against the workings of the Lord. Don't forget that. And so therefore, you want to say, hey, he think he's going to be a ruler over us, but we're supposed to be the ruler because we're the oldest." Well, if anything, you look bad if being the oldest or the elders, you should be acting right. You should have been setting an example for your siblings under you. That's one thing I want to say, too, what's going on wrong in many households. You got siblings, older siblings, who are just thinking about themselves and not thinking about their younger siblings. "Oh, they're just in the hands of my daddy and our mama." Okay, daddy and mama is the upper leadership in the house. But guess what? Older brother, older sister, you can be a help even to dealing with your younger siblings. But if you got the attitude that, hey, I'm the oldest, I should this and that, and you lift it up in pride and ain't thinking about your younger siblings, then what is that saying about you? Now, for someone who know that particularly, I have to give myself an example because I had to go back a few years and apologize to my younger siblings because I was young, prideful, nose in the air, called myself liking this girl and got caught up and wasn't fully thinking about my siblings under me. You understand what I'm saying? See, we're in a role, not our role as children in the house. Yeah, we're to be children, but we have a role in helping. Children should see that, you know, not taking over the leadership now, don't get me wrong, but a role in helping. Think about if you got siblings under you, and I hope some of you are children, maybe perhaps some of you are listening to this broadcast. Don't just be selfish and think about yourself. Think about your siblings under you. How can you help them? How can you show them a good example? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But anyhow, he goes on to say, now I do not write upon these plates all the words which they murmur against me, but it suffices me to say that they did seek to take away my life. His own brother wanted to kill him. He said, and it came to pass that the Lord did warn me that I, Nephi, should depart from them and flee into the wilderness and all they which would go with me. He said the Lord warned him now. And the Lord told him that he should depart from them. So this is so now we come to the time that they first depart, okay? And this departure was called out by the Lord to happen. You understand that? But let me read another verse to show you why. He said, wherefore, it came to pass that I, Nephi, did take my family and also Zoram and his family, and Sam, my elder brother and his family, and Jacob and Joseph, my younger brother, and also my sisters, and all they which would go with me. And listen to this, and all they which would go with me were they which believed in the warnings and the revelations of God. Wherefore, they did hearken unto my words. Do you see that? So God called them off for separation because you had the separate between those that believe in the warnings and revelation of God and those that didn't. Do you understand that? Once again, it wasn't by race. It wasn't about race. Hallelujah. It wasn't about race. And this right here didn't even talk about the mark that was put on, which hopefully another time we'll look at it in this series, about the mark that was put on as what the record of Nephi said. This separation, God called this separation right here without even putting a mark on the Lamanites. You get that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now I want to read from one more scripture. I want to come from the word of the Lord here. Those of you that have the word of the Lord, go to the 19th message. Those of you that don't, once again, write this down, okay? Write this down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Write this down. 19th message. And I want to read verses 15 and 16. 19th message, verses 15 and 16. Now, here it is. Hallelujah. 19 message, verse 15 and 16. We're back, just had a disconnect. Glory be to God. I know this is something that the devil don't want to be talked about, but thank God for the power of God. Now, this 19th message, 15th verse. Now, look what it said. Now, this is the Lord sending this message through his angel messenger. This is February the 28th, 1930. Now, listen to what he said. He said, behold, there are those. Now, listen to this closely now. Behold, or in other words, I want you to see, there are those that whose hearts are full of adultery and selfishness. There are those that have taken that which is not their own. There are those that hate their brother and seek to destroy him. Okay? Behold, I say unto you, they cannot have any part in this work and are not of the household of faith. Look what he said in the next verse. Separate yourself from all those. Wait a minute. What am I separating from for, Lord? Because they ain't the same color? No, he told you. He said, separate yourself from all those and have no part with their works. If you would seek the Lord in prayer often, he would give you the light you need, save your strength, be humble, be wise in your work, use love in your work, but yield not to the traditions of men. Now notice when God told him to, when did God tell him to separate? Or who he tell him to separate from? Someone of a specific color? No. He said there are those whose hearts are full of adultery and selfishness. Now if you notice about adultery, when you go to the Bible, Galatians 5, adultery is one of the works of the flesh. And when you hear what he said, and there are those that hate their brethren. Well, hatred is one of the works of the flesh. So though there are those who are full of the flesh, and God tell you, say, separate yourself from them. Because you come full of the flesh, your works is going to manifest of that. And God says, separate yourself from it. And notice that God didn't say because of a race. Because they are a specific color. Again, it has nothing to do with race. If you're going to be cursed by anything, is if you join with them in their works. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 8 about the work of, it tells us about the flesh, he that live after the flesh shall die. That's a curse. So by you partaking in the works that they do, which brings a curse, that's what's going to cause you a curse. It's not about races, people. It's not about race. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not about race. But once again, you have some people, especially with these Mormon, what they teach, they got the racism in their heart, and they're trying to justify it by saying, God said, hallelujah. And I know they said, well, we overturned it in 1978, okay. But once again, I have seen, on social media and things like that, how, you know, some black Mormons saying, hey, we still dealing with this racism in Mormonism. Man, it's still, and they have to revert back to this anti-black doctrine. Because this is where the center of this thing is coming from, people. I know they said that they overturned it, but it doesn't mean it's overturning it in many of their hearts. Now, as I'm saying, every single Mormon is racist? No, I don't. I am not saying that. But this is the base of where this stuff comes from, okay? Hallelujah. And this is the same ones that call themselves the restored church on earth. In other words, the church that Christ set up like he set up back in the days of old. There is no way. And I'm talking about not just because of this anti-black doctrine, but other things that I reported to you on, to you guys on. They're not the restored church here on this earth. Listen, the Jesus they talking about, they believe it's not the Jesus of the Bible. They believe it's some other Jesus who had to earn his godhood. Now, what kind of Jesus? That ain't the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus didn't have to earn no godhood. And according to them, there's so many different gods up in heaven. That my God, my question is, who you follow? Who's the leader? And then if you say we could be potentially hit godhood, then, I mean, I guess we take over who? Because you got already so many gods up there, okay? You know, I'm just being real, okay? So who you follow? Lord help us. Lord help us. Now let me read one more thing from the Word of the Lord. This is the Articles on Faith and Practice where the Lord had inspired some men on what is called the Temple Lot to write these things down. And I want to come from the Articles on Faith Practice number 20, hallelujah, in the beginning of the Word of the Lord book. And Articles on Faith and Practice number 20, it said, we believe that marriage is ordained of God. Now, this is supposed to be the belief of the church. When he said, we believe. So this is called for unity in faith among the church, okay? We believe that marriage is ordained of God and that the law of God provides for but one companion in the wedlock, either man or woman. It didn't say either man or woman of a particular race. In case of a breach of this covenant, the innocent one may remarry. Once again, it ain't stressing either man or woman of a particular race. Hallelujah. Amen. This goes along with what? The Bible. Okay? Bible, regular Nephite word. Listen, You know, this, like I said, this thing right here is really something. It's really something. And I thank God for this opportunity you've given in the Word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise. Father, I thank you, Lord, for blessing me to come through this broadcast, to be able to deliver this message in Jesus' name. Lord, now I ask that you water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase for your glory. And so that I lift you up, I magnify you, because, Father, you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.